good morning. Thank the Lord for a good Sunday school hour. Enjoyed being with you. I didn't quite get through with the lesson. I think I'm going to finish it real quick. I think when I got my shots, I was vaccinated with a phonograph needle, I think, because I'm talking dog. But well, I asked Brother Ray from the Philippines to come. He's going to sing a special. And right after he sings, Brother Joshua from Togo, West Africa, will give us a testimony. Just about 10 minutes, his salvation experience, his calling, his ministry, his goals, what he wants to do in Togo. Brother Ray will bring us a message. Now tonight we'll do just the opposite. Brother Ray will give us his testimony. Brother Joshua will bring a message. This morning we emphasize the Bible Fund with Help Ministries. You're already involved in that. I won't say anything more except to say this. Keep it up. Keep it up. Then we have the Ezra Fund. The Ezra Ministry helps with buildings. We had a fellow here just several months ago in Grenada, and he was trying to buy a church that had been deserted. Very nice facility just sitting there. He needed $82,000. And through our supporting churches, Help Ministries, one church gave a large donation. He was able to take the money and buy that building. So thank God. It's a fund set aside that nationals can more or less borrow from, build their building. As the church is able, they put money back. It's not 100%. They don't go down and take them to jail if they don't pay it back. If they can't pay it back, they do. If not, then it's just the Lord's work. So that's a fund. I think y'all built a church in Haiti, helped build a church in Haiti. So we thank the Lord. You're already involved in that. So Brother Ray, good to have you with us. God bless you. Welcome to America. And you sing for us, Brother Josh. You come right up. Then you come back and preach. We're looking forward to hearing these men.
I'd like to sing a song entitled, So Send I You.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to build a bruised and broken, or wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burdens of a world the weary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a-hungering for the loved and known, forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear ones. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to live your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in me. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend the wheat be blood to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you.
Good morning, church. Hope you're doing good. So good to be here again, and thank you for the opportunity that you guys are giving us. Thank you, Pastor. And I can't wait to taste that pork and beans tonight. So thank you for that. Anyway, I'm Joshua Akapo, and I'm from Togo, West Africa. I was born in a Christian family, and my dad, he's the pastor, and I was a missionary. He works at different Baptist churches in Togo and also worked for parents. Because I was raised in a Christian family, that if you're raised in a Christian family, it doesn't mean that you're totally a Christian. You have to make a step on your own. You have to believe in Jesus Christ on your own. You have to be willing to lay down your sins so that Christ can take it for you. And so I was born in 87, grew up in Togo. Like I said, my dad is a pastor, and so we travel. He's the missionary, so we travel a lot. Our first trip was in Cameroon in 1999, where he was a missionary for Awana in Cameroon, which means I grew up in Awana, a lot of verses. A lot of teen camps, a lot of kids camp, a youth camp. I was also involved in the ministry at the church, doing a lot of stuff, choir, playing, singing, and all that. But I was still looking for something. I didn't find peace in me, even though I was involved in the Christian family. I was doing all that. I was still looking for something because I didn't find peace in my heart. Looks like was something missing. So I needed to find a way out. It was hard for me to talk to my dad about it. He's a very strict man, very strict. And it was hard for me as his child sometimes to go to him and talk to him about certain things that really bothers me. And so I kept that for myself. But I know that they have been praying for me for a long time to get saved and to trust in Christ, and I know that their prayer worked. And so 2003, while he was in his office, he called my sister. And then later on, a couple of hours later, my sister, my younger sister, Laura, she came out crying, but it was a joyful cry. And so later on, he called me, and then I was like, and I saw my sister crying, and then I was like, maybe I did something wrong, so he's going to punish me. But I found out that it wasn't the case, so I went to his office, and he was asking me if I was saved. And I said no, and he was astonished, and he was like, why? You have been involved with all those things, but you're not saved? And so I told him the reason that I was still struggling with myself, and I needed to find out why Jesus, a perfect man, a king, came down on earth to save someone like me as a sinner. I couldn't comprehend that because I was just this little person, and someone greater than God came to save me. I can't understand that. But he told me that he loved me, and the only thing I have to do is just to believe in him by faith. We spent 2 hours talking back and forth, and he was explaining me the plan of salvation. And that night, I accepted Christ as a savior that night. And I don't know how to express it, but I felt free. I was like, I left down some stuff, like it was like a baggage, and I left down. It felt down, and I felt that night that there was something that I was ready to do. I put my life for Christ that night. I laid down my life for him, and I told him that to use me, whatever he wants me to do. If you want me to go right, I'll go right. If you want me to go left, I'll go left. If you want me to go straight, I will do that. I was devoted to him. And I believed in him that night. I know that he came and died on the cross for me, and I believe that he rose the third day. And I know that he's now in heaven preparing a place for me, which I can't wait to be. And it was a great time that night. I was very involved later on. I was very happy because I felt that there was something in my life that I needed also to share with other people. And my joy was the sharing. And that night, it came up with that verse I always remember in my life was Philippians 4:4, rejoice always in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And that's because we're saved, and we're saved forever. I am saved forever, and nothing or no one's going to take that from me. That love endures in me forever. And I want to share that love to other people, to the young people, and at the same time to the youth in my country. And so later on, I got saved. That was in 2003. I was 16. I was still a teenager. And that during those times, I was still involved in my dad's ministry and Awana. I was much more involved, what I would say, because I was ready for anything. I was ready to lay down, even if I had to clean out whatever in the church, the windows or whatever. Just be humble, but at the same time be happy in it. And so I was very ready to do the work. In 2009, we came back in Togo. So we spent 10 years in Cameroon. And so in 2009, we came back in Togo and graduated high school. Went to college. I was supposed to be a computer science engineer. That was my goal. I wanted to create something. I wanted to, because I love touching things, I like creating things, I like fixing things. But I got an opportunity to come to Des Springs Bible College in Chicago. And I was very glad because my home church was encouraging me to do so. And I was involved, and they helped me a lot. I would say they helped me a lot. And they sent me to college. Went to Bible college there. I wanted to do 2 years and then go back to Japan and study computer science, but I believe God was calling me for something else. I was involved in the youth program in the summer and when I was in charge, and I found out that God wanted me to work with the young people and the children. At the college there, I went to, I was teaching the preschool. Also in charge for the youth program at the college there. There were a lot of young people, so there was a schedule for us. And so I was very involved with the young people. But at the same time, when I was involved, I was like, what about my people in Togo? What about my country? I need to bring that knowledge that I have and also to share the gospel with them. I did my bachelor program there, also had my master program there, and graduated in 2019. I went back home and started a ministry called Living Hope 44. And Living Hope is, of course, Jesus Christ, and that hope also brings us that we always, as a Christian, gonna go to heaven. We need to have that hope in us. And so in 4:4 there, as you well know, is Philippians 4:4. I always kept that verse with me all the time. And so I put that there. And so our ministry involves young people and children. And I started in 2019. We're working with different Baptist churches. And of course, working with my home churches, and the goal there, our vision, is to ignite the young people and the youth people to be involved in the ministry, not only in the home church, but also to be to create other churches too in different area, in the deeper area in Togo. And we work with my home church and also different Baptist churches in Togo. And our vision, like I said, is to help them to know that there is hope in everything, but that hope has to be in Christ, only in Christ and forever in Christ. Our missions, our three missions, is first to reach them with the gospel, to nourish them with the gospel, and to build them with the gospel. Our second mission is to build a center, a secure center for spiritual growth. And that center involves soccer ministry, a basketball ministry, and other ministries too. So it's a really safe place for us so that we don't have to go in other places and do things, but a different place secure for us. The reason is that we don't want those kids and young people to be involved with other activities in the world, or to be involved in the gangs or alcohol or drugs, but to have a secure place where they can come every single day, 24 hours. They can have counseling program, a Bible program, a way that they can be involved and have their thought for eternity and only in Christ. And so that's our prayer. And our third mission is to mentor potential leaders. So if we have those children or those young people involved in the ministry, then they can be able to create and send them in the other different part of the Togo and create their own ministry, or build different churches, or build different centers for those young people in those villages. And our nucleus, our work, involves youth ministry, kid ministry, children ministry, soccer ministry, orphans ministry, planting churches, and at the same time, foster kid ministry. And so we have a lot of stuff going on. We're growing, and we are now with the head ministry, and they are helping at the same time. My team, I have 7 people in my team. They're working very hard, and I'm praying that meeting you guys today or this morning, you guys can be part of our ministry in Togo as well. I'm praying forward to it, and God bless you. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Let's open our Bibles, please, in the book of Exodus. Just want to share this message for all of us. And the Lord impressed upon my heart to put this, to give this lesson in the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. 2 verses, quickly. Exodus chapter 14, just verse number 13 and 14. Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 13. And Moses said unto his people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord," verse number 14, "the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." The book of Psalm, chapter number 46, verse number 10, there's another passage there. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." I want you to understand this morning as we have this word of God. Sometimes you find yourself at a time in your life where all you can do is just be still and know that God is God. You may be place, or your situation may seem hopeless, or you may feel overwhelmed and say alone. Even with loving and caring friends and family, you still feel alone. Sometimes you don't know why. It is in these times that God comes on the scene and does what no one else can do. And let us just pause for a while this morning as we start this missions conference. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I heard one song by the Isaacs. I do not know that group, but I heard that song. And that song describes this fact so vividly. And it says, the Father has a plan. Though it's hard to see it now, you feel you're walking all alone, but He is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Stand still. It's hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. See, the children of Israel had begun a new journey, a journey of hope and great expectation. And they find themselves in a very discouraging situation. In front of them is a great Red Sea. To the left is a mountain. To the right, another mountain. Behind them are Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. And if we're going to look at verse number 13 of our text, Exodus chapter number 14, and in verse number 13, it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. And let us see four occasions. This time, this moment, God wants each one of us. As you start your missions conference, and I'm going to say this morning with all of my heart, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Four things this morning, as I expound in this passage, stand still. Number one, stand still when frustrations appear. If verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel, so Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. See, we need to stand still when frustrations appear. And when Pharaoh, in verse number 10, Pharaoh was drawing nigh. See, your troubles may be intimidating and intense, and you just don't know what you're going to do. The answer is, if we are in a situation that is so frustrating, is that the answer is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When frustrations appear, stand still. When fears in verse number 10, number 2, not only frustrations appear, but fear sometimes will appear in our life. If you will notice verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were what? Sore afraid. Not only frustrations will come, we need to stand still. When fears appear, stand still. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. See, they were thinking that they would be captured, that they would be enslaved, that they would be killed. See, the fear of the unknown. We really do not know what's going to happen of this COVID pandemic. If it's going to continue another year, we still do not know. We are living in the unknown, fear of the unknown. But God wants each one of us to understand, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Not only when frustrations come, not only when fears appear, but verse number 11, when faithless happens, or when faithless appear, stand still. Sometimes we don't have the faith to move on. We don't have the faith to come to church. But God said, when faithless appear, we don't have that faith, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Look at verse number 11. It says here, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Friends, brethren, let me just say this. When faithless appear, stand still. Things that did not go the way you wanted them to. Some of us have maybe lost spouses because of COVID. I do not know. In our country, I have lost a lot of families because of COVID. Some have buried their children, and some have diagnosed with terminal illness, or maybe some have families who are facing difficulties. Maybe this morning you are hurting. I do not know. You want to know what to do. Friend, let me say this. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When frustration appears, stand still. When fears appear, stand still. When faithless appear, stand still. Number four, when foes attack, stand still. Many of us, we will face an enemy. We're going to face our enemy. See the troubles, trials that you are in the midst of. God knows that you are there. In fact, He put you there. You know why? So that we will see the salvation of the Lord. He does not put us in a situation that God doesn't know. He wants us to be there so that we will always trust Him, because He's the one that can do it for us. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom so you can find that Jesus Christ is the rock of that bottom. And sometimes we do not understand why God would place us in that situation. But God wants us to understand that He is still in control of everything. When we started the work in the Philippines, nine months after I started the work, that was 1990, 1991. I got married and I started the work in the Philippines. That was 1991. I conducted a lot of Bible studies, and we had that service. I already baptized people. There were already people that got saved in the ministry that I have started. That was 1991. And the ministry that God entrusted to me was located in Mindanao. That's where a lot of Muslims are. Mindanao Island. So I was conducting Sunday school like Brother Don a while ago. So I was in the middle of my lesson, and like about 15, 16 people were inside, and I saw one jeep load parked in front of the mission house, and I said, we're going to have maybe full pack this morning. And I was thanking the Lord, thank you for bringing this man. So I continued teaching, and excuse me. And here comes all these men that were parked outside, but they are different. Different men that I know. All of them begin to come inside. All of them are wearing turbans with all long beards. And they're not Filipinos, they're all foreigners. And each one of them went inside with AK-47. And each one of them positioned themselves on this side, maybe seven and maybe eight of them from this side. And here comes their leader asking me, he wants to talk to our people. And that's what I just, he asked me, can I teach your people? And I do not know what to answer. I really do not know. I was scared because all of them are wearing, they're bringing guns, AK-47. So I told him, all right, I'll give you 5 minutes to say whatever you want to say. And I was standing here, excuse me, he was teaching whatever, I'm not concerned. But I'm concerned of my wife. She's pregnant for my first child. And she was there looking at me, and she wants to go out, but nobody can go out. And I saw the face, the expression of our people there. I was scared. I was really scared. I was scared to death. But I was just praying, Lord, give my wife grace. And prior to that, 1 month prior to that instance, there was also in one city, neighboring city of ours, a Protestant church was also, during their Sunday, they were massacred. One month before that, after that, or before that happened. So I prayed, Lord, just give me the grace. 5 minutes was up, and I told the man, sir, your time is up. And I do not know what the Lord gave in my heart, but I said, your time is up. And I was just waiting what this man is going to do. He was looking at all these men, and they all positioned their AK-47 to all of our people, and one aimed at me. And the waiting was there. He has to say yes, and that's it. And all of these men were looking on their leader. And I saw, looking at this man, did a nod that changed my life, and he did like this. He nodded his head. And after nodding his head like that, each one went outside and left the church, left our mission house, even the leader. After that, we all stood up and embraced each other and thanking God, because we just said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Today, God wants to do that. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When your enemies come against you, stand still. God has a plan. After 29 years, the Lord has blessed our church. And I'm going to give that testimony tonight. Please do come back. Because we know that if we're going to just say, Lord, I'm going to stand still and I'm going to wait, what you're going to do in my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you. Lord, want us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Bless this church as they start this missions conference. In Jesus' name, amen.